Good. Good if you can read that, but it's from Luke chapter 17. It's a little short story of a very interesting event as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, and this is from the NIV. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Amen.
Amen. Right, well, let's have a look at that story and a few of the details of it. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and this is the end of Jesus' earthly ministry coming up pretty quick now. As he's on his way to Jerusalem, there's only one direction he can go, and that is to the cross. So that's what it's all about. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is that as he's on his way, what does he do? He goes around blessing people. He works his wonders and shows people about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is the one way, and he's only taking the one way, the crossroad. Bless him. Right, next please. So, location, location. It says Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Do you know your Israeli geography?
No.
No? Oh dear, right. Well, let's explain. Galilee is that little bit of water at the top there. Sea of Galilee, yes? Yeah. The area around that would be called Galilee. Right? Now, the bit that's a bit lower is some area lower. Right. So that's Samaria now. It's not what it's called, that, of course. Yeah. Samaria is. And who lived in Samaria?
Samaritans.
And do the Samaritans and the Jews get on all right at this time?
No.
No, right. All right, then. So what happens is Jesus travelled along the border between. So what he does is he goes down by the side of the river. That river is called the river. Right, you've got it now. Your geography is improving all the time. So Jesus travelled from Galilee, where he's quite a bit of his early ministry had been. He's heading down there, and he's heading towards Jerusalem. Right, okay? So that's along the border. Why didn't he go through Samaria instead of taking the long detour?
Didn't want to upset
them. No, it wasn't that. It says that Jesus wasn't welcome there. Some Samaritans welcomed Jesus, but a lot didn't. When they were okay with Jesus while Jesus is staying there. But when they hear that Jesus is going to Jerusalem,
they don't like it.
So, not welcome. Point. Very important lesson, ladies and gentlemen. If you tell him he's not welcome, he might not come. Sad. Very sad. Just think of the blessing they missed out on. I mean, we're going to see about Jesus blessing somebody on the way. So if they'd have been welcoming, they might have got some blessings themselves. So, lesson. If you want to get blessed, invite Jesus into your life. Right, next please. Location. Again, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. There we are. As he was going into the village. Why are they on the out of the village? Because they got leprosy. And they're not welcome. Right, leprosy was a very feared disease. It's in some ways, with antibiotics at the moment, until we lose the power of the antibiotics, it's treatable, easily treatable. And if it catches in the early stages, you don't have all the problems with burnt limbs and things like that. But these poor souls didn't have antibiotics in those days, and so they're excluded so that no one gets infected. And so they're on the outside of the village. What kind of life is that? Isolated, separate, not wanted. You been there? I don't suppose you have, but some people have. Yeah. The rejects of society. That's what they were. The rejects. Sad. And whatever reason they got the leprosy, we don't know. That's irrelevant, really. So next then, please. So, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, it's interesting because out of that 10 group, there's one guy who is a Samaritan. Now, we said earlier on, Samaritans and Jews don't mess about with each other. No time for each other. But this group have got a Samaritan in them. Why did they welcome the Samaritan? Because they're all in a mess. Isn't it interesting how the mess can unite you? Right? They're in the pit and they're in it together. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that the things that seem so important when troubles come aren't that important after all? The things that we think are really special and wonderful and all that sort of stuff. And then you find out, you know, I remember when I was at university, one of my lecturers, he was the one that lectured in serials up at Leeds University, and he had a heart attack. And thankfully he survived, and he came back to speak to us later on, and I was talking to him. He says, you know, after you've been through that, things look different. Things you thought were important aren't, and the things that you left behind you should have picked up, you do, yeah? So, the mess is more important now than what they're in. They're united in their miserable condition. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we're in the same mess, you know. It's called sin. Leprosy in the Bible is often sort of parallel with sin. It's contagious. Yeah? It destroys your life and separates you from people and from God. Well, that's what sin does. That's what's happened to these guys. They've got messed up with leprosy. So, Jesus meets them up. Next, please. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. That's sad in a way, but it's good as well. They stood at a distance. Why are they keeping their distance? Yeah, they've been sort of trained to keep away, yes? They might have got beaten up by people if they got near any others, yeah? So, keep your distance, but just to make sure that Jesus got the message, what did they do? They called out in a loud voice, yeah. Right? Yes, Jesus, well, we'll find out what they say in a moment. But, you know, when you're in a situation and things are tough and difficult, what should you do? Call out and, well, you don't have to be loud even. God's not deaf, you know. Right? But, call out in a loud voice if you must. Yeah? God's willing to hear. And so, they called out in a loud voice, making contact. Good, next please. So, Master, Jesus, they say, have pity on us. Right? What's their message? Please help us. Right? Master, have pity on us. I'll put that in there. What you need and what you deserve. What do they deserve?
Nothing.
No. What do they need?
Everything.
Yes. They need everything. And they got nothing. And they don't deserve anything. Right, that's the point. When we come to God, remember that, please. You do not deserve what God wants to give you. It's not because we're such nice people. You are. But that's not the point, yes? It's because we don't deserve it. God shows us his mercy and pity. And they've got the message. Master, what a good phrase, eh? Jesus, boss, Lord, we don't deserve anything. Help us, please. I wonder if they'd heard about Jesus. I suspect words have got around, you know.
That's why they all came up front.
Yeah. Word must have got around, this Jesus can help you. If you're willing to get, if we can get a hold of him, if we can get his attention, he'll help us. But they've got a good view of Jesus. I hope you have too. So next then, please. Right. And he says, when he saw them, he said, I put that up as instant care. Some of you are carers, you know? Yes?
Yeah.
Jesus is. Right? Instant, when he saw them, he thought, oh, well, I'll have my dinner first. And then, no. When he saw them, he said to them, right, so that's lovely, isn't it? Instant response. You know, God's, it's something we wrestle with, isn't it? We do believe God's more willing to answer than you are to ask. Yes, it's true, I'm sure it is. God's more willing to answer than we are to ask. But yet when we ask, he doesn't always seem to answer as quickly as we like. Yeah. He's doing things the way he wants, but he's working on it, of course. But they ask, and Jesus is instantly on their case. Wonderful. Next, please. So he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Go show yourselves to the priests. That's all he said to them. Now, the interesting thing, what's the equivalent, what's the priest? The priest is the equivalent of the doctor in those days. The priests were the ones who diagnosed the lumps, the spots, the blobs and everything else and said, you're okay or you're not. Right, so that was the priest is functioning as a doctor, effectively, in this instance, right? Go show yourselves to the priest. And the interesting thing is, it's a different method that Jesus uses this time. Earlier on in Luke, we met a leper, and what did Jesus do with him?
Touched.
He touched him. Yes? This guy was on his own, this leper, I guess, and a bit of human contact was good for him, I guess, but Jesus ministered to him. Of course, I said last time as well, you know, it's against the law to touch lepers. Did you know that? In the Jewish law, it was against the law to touch lepers. So did Jesus break the law?
Yes.
No. Because when he touched him, he wasn't a leper. Yes. See? Anyway, show yourselves to the doctor. Different method. Now, a lesson. Dear ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have to learn from this is, God won't do it his way. You can't tell him how he's going to do it. Yes? You've heard the joke about the men that were arguing about how Jesus healed the blind man. One man said, he spat in his eye. And he did it. No, he says he made some mud. And then he did put it on his face. Yeah? No, he says he spat in his eye. No, the other one says, no, he made mud. And so they started two new denominations, the Spittites and the Anti-Spittites. Danger is God will do what God wants to do, God's way. And you just trust him, he knows what he's doing. For them, it was important that he said, you go and show yourself to the priests. Right? So, the other thing is that Jesus is honouring the Bible's teaching. It's required in the law, the Jewish law was, that if someone had been healed of leprosy, they had to go and show themselves to the priests in order to get, well, some sort of certificate or something, but public acknowledgement that they're welcome back into society. Right? So they've got a genuine doctor's note, you could say, to show that they're well and fit again. So Jesus is honouring the Bible's teaching, as he always has done. Right, and then there's another amazing thing is, Jesus says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Yeah. And when they set off, what are they?
Lepers.
They're lepers.
When they got to the priest.
You've got to trust him. You've got to move and trust him as you go forward. Right? There's no... Would they have been healed if they'd have sat there and waited until they were healed and then go to the doctors? I don't think so. So, Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priests. Challenges their faith. He does that to you and me, you know. He says, I want to bless you, but I want you to do something in order for it to happen. So, you've got to trust him. Trust and obey. Right, so that's what... They knew that song was long enough. Right, next slide, please. So, as they went, they were cleansed. How about that? Interesting word, that.
He didn't have to touch him, did he?
Sorry? Didn't even touch him. No. See, Jesus can do it where Jesus wants. Yeah. As they went, they were cleansed. Interesting word, that. He doesn't say healed. It says healed later on. Right? Why does he use the word cleanse? Because of the word that the problem with leprosy was, it was an infection of the whole person. They were unclean, right? And so this word, they were cleansed, is a wonderful word. As they went, right? And not until they went. So as they go along, they see, I wonder how it happened as they're walking along. Did they start feeling a bit better, or they saw their skin being change as they walked along? I don't know. Right. But faith in Jesus' word worked for them. And it's still the same.
Would the priest have known that they've been healed? Because they've got their guy.
Well, the priest would have a problem. They said, well, we were lepers, but have a look. Mm-hmm. Fine. No
so
problem.
So actually, they're just going to show the priest.
They're going to show the priest in order to get the certificate, or whatever it is that they did, to show that they're fine. And he says, as they went, they were cleansed. They knew, and they saw. Right? They knew they were well. They could see it on each other. Right? So, you know, this was not mind-changing. It wasn't some psycho job. It was a transformation of their bodies. Wonderful. So, as they walked along, they were cleansed. How do you think they felt?
Absolutely.
It's good news, isn't it? Hey, right, next one, please. So, what happens? One of them, when he saw he was healed, notice the word healed is used there, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. So this chap, he comes back, and it says he turns around, and he chooses to praise the Lord. He came back praising God in a loud voice. What's his heart's response when he realizes he's been healed? He's just so thankful, isn't he? And he starts, who's he praising God? In fact, God for what God has done. So his heart responds. And he says, he praised the Lord in a loud voice. What do you think to that? When last were you praising the Lord with a loud voice? Because we're Brits, aren't we? Most of us, I guess, eh? And, we're calm, steady people, aren't we? This guy's enthusiastic. And I've got no complaints about him being enthusiastic. If you've been separated, struck down by something that's really life-threatening, right, and then you're restored, that's something to get excited about. So there he is. He's all enthusiastic and emotional. Great, eh? Isn't that good?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I can see him bouncing along the hill, you know? Right. Yes, this chap is, learning to fly. Great. Praise the Lord. It's good. You're allowed, to use your bodies, Yes. Praise the Lord. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. Next thing. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. I mean, that's a bit extravagant, isn't it? He just leapt at Jesus. He wasn't trying to catch Jesus, He was just throwing himself down. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Wow. Good man. He's got it right. There's gratitude and worship. And the interesting thing is, the old prejudices are gone. Do you remember, what is he?
Samaritan.
And here he is thanking a Jew for being healed. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. See, when God begins to work in you, it can change a few pretty important things in lives. Did he need to see the priest? He's come back. Did he need to see the priest? He's a Samaritan.
No,
I don't think he needed to in one sense, but if he's going to be in the area, perhaps he ought to see the local priest doctor to just make sure it's all okay. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, he came back to see Jesus, right? Now then, I saw this little bit as I was looking up for some pictures, and I thought, it's all about being grateful, isn't it? Grateful for what God's done. Here it is. God gave us, if you calculate it, you've got to calculate this, 86,400 seconds in a day. Have you used one to say thank you? Well, being thankful. I've said it before, I will say it again. Thankfulness is a window that lets light into your heart. Yes? Being thankful. So this man comes and he just bows down before Jesus and praises God for all he's done for him. So grateful. Good to be thankful. Yes, and he was a Samaritan. Well, there we are. The Samaritan came back. He got it right. Next then, please. So Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? And were all 10 cleansed?
Yes.
Yes, certainly were. So what's the difference?
One came back.
What happened to the other 9, yeah? Yeah? What's the difference between the 9 and the guy, the Samaritan?
They're all
cleansed. Something's changed on the inside for this guy in a profound way. Yes? I'm really that sure that's what's gone on. The other guys were healed. We'll look at that in a moment. But here we are. They're changed on the outside. Healed. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus can touch people's bodies, but if they don't respond with their hearts, all they've got is a different body. Yeah? And Jesus is more interested in what's on the inside, than the although he cares about the outside as well, of course. Right. There's a difference. That's the phrase I want to use. The difference between reformation and rebirth. Reformation is... you think, oh, this Christian life's a good idea. I'll sing a few songs, smarten up your life a bit, won't swear so much, and, be nice to people occasionally and try and calm your temper down a bit. That's called reformation. Yeah? Good. Not good enough. What you need, really, is, because a reformed person, if he went and stood on his foot, what would he do? Come you in the face, of course, right? Yeah. Where rebirth means there's a change on the inside. I knew of a man who was a coal miner, worked down the coal mines, and he'd become a Christian. And do you know what his mates, they called them mates down there, Do you know what his mates tried to do? Stamp on him, on his feet and whatever, and toes and whatever, to try and make him swear.
Yeah.
Right? Not very nice, was it? Yeah, I suspect they gave up after a while. Yeah. But you see, reformation clean up the outside, but the inside's not changed. Rebirth, change the inside, and then the outside catches up. You've heard about the man talking to a communist. This was a few years ago, walking along the road, and they see a man in the gutter. Poor soul, he's had too much to drink, fallen over, and finished up in the gutter to dry out, I suppose. And while he's lying there, the communist turns to the Christian and he says, "You look at that," he says, "communism could put a new coat on that man." And the Christian said, "Yes, but Jesus could put a new man in that coat." Makes a difference. Yes. Next, please. So where are the other nine, Jesus asked? Well, they were going to see the priest, weren't they? I suppose they were. Or did they go and see the priest and then went home afterwards? Probably more likely, isn't it? Couldn't they come back and say thank you? Right? See, and it happens. I've seen it. God touches people's lives and then they forget all about it. You know, "I'll say this, Lord, I'll do that, I'll be a faithful follower of yours if you do this for me." And Jesus does it for you and says, "Well, I was only joking, really, you know. Thank you very much, I'll see you. Don't call me, I'll call you." Not good. Not good. No. Right, so what happens to the other nine? No idea. They've got a bit of a story to tell, but sad. Very sad. Next then, please. So, "Has no one returned," Jesus says, "to give praise to God except this foreigner?" How about that? When Jesus uses the word foreigner, is he insulting the guy?
No, he
wasn't a Jew. No, I don't think Jesus was. But basically, he's really pointing out the contrast. The people who don't deserve, the people who are on the outside, have got it. They've got the message. This foreigner, this outsider, is back, he's got God. Great. And yet, those that are so close, they've got the law, they've got the priests, they've got all the system, all the history, all that stuff. No gratitude, no thankfulness, no experience, reality of who God is and what he wants to carry. Yeah? Which is a real shame. So, the sad thing is, you can be so close, and yet so far away. People are. Yeah? So, don't let going to church and doing the stuff be the only thing. That's the outward experience, outward activities. Should be inner reality as well. Ask Jesus into your heart, into your life, and bring about that life that you want. Yeah? So it's great. And the other thing is, Jesus calls him a foreigner, and it underlines the effect that God's grace is for those who don't deserve. Yeah? These outsiders, they have no connection with the God of Israel, and yet the God of Israel blesses this man. Shows him some grace to the undeserving. It's good to be in the grace situation, yeah? And yes, you don't deserve, but God is willing to bless. Praise the Lord. Right, I think there's one more. Yes, oh, nearly two more, I think, yes. "Then he said to him, 'Arise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" That's lovely, isn't it? He says, "Okay, lad." Actually, what's the man doing is, he's showing himself to the priest. The high priest, Jesus. And Jesus is pronouncing over him, he won't need a written prescription. He'll say, "You are clean, son, go." Yeah? "Arise and go." He showed himself to the priest, who pronounced him clean and blessed. "Your faith has made you well." Well, was it his faith that made him well?
No, it was going to hit him anyway.
Yes, it's how we use it, yes. What is Jesus saying is, actually, I mean, if you want, technically, the correct thing is, God, Jesus, made him well, right? But it was through his exercise of faith that power of God came into his life. He did something, although he's doing something doesn't make it happen. It's just he's trusting that the power that God can bring into his life, he had to open his heart to that. And he believed it, yes. Faith isn't a work, it's simply trusting. So your faith has made you well, because it isn't something you do in one sense, it's just trusted. Okay, so your faith has made you well. So faith's really important. God likes faith, did you know that?
Yes.
Without faith, it says, in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. So you've got to trust him. That's what it's about. And this man had done that, and he says, "Yeah, you see, works. Great, arise and go. Last one I think we've got. Yes. So what does go mean? Arise and go. It doesn't mean go and carry on as normal. Right? Don't go back to the leper colony. You're not one anymore. Change life. Right? Something new, as marvellous has happened, right? It's a new life he's got, and he's got to live it for the Lord. You want to tell people. He's got a story to tell. Yeah. You know what's the difference between a witness and a storyteller?
Witness
has been there. First-hand information, personal experience. A storyteller, man, I know somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody else that so-and-so happened. No, but it's all right. Yeah, but a witness is someone who's experienced it. This man's got a testimony to tell. Can you stand up here and say, I mean, I'm not asking you to do it, of course, but can you say, you know, I've got a story to tell. It's nobody else's, just mine. Yeah? What God's done in my life. That's all you need to do, you know. Right, so, he's got an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that phrase before, haven't you? Right? And that's what I want to share with you. An attitude of gratitude is really, really important. It's the window that lets the light into your heart. Yes. Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, we're going to meet him. Right. Going to meet him. And he'll be able to tell you his story firsthand. Right. I think that's it, is it? Yes. Got a song for you in the moment. We've got two songs. The last one, you'll like. You don't know it. You don't know it. But it's got some interesting words in it as well. You might not quite agree with the words. Spiritualise it and you'll be alright. Anyway, let's have a look at this same verse.